Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back, Shayna Goldman. She is our Friday staple here on Sabres Live. And if you'd forgotten who she writes for, she's branding today.
Yeah.
The Athletic. Marty's got his harvest colors on, I think.
Yeah.
I think this was post the Lindy Ruff suit from a couple of days ago. I figured you would... You would enjoy his combination that is similar to yours today. So, it's a good time.
It's all coming together, Duffer. It's all coming together. You know, so, you got the goat head stuff today because Shayna loves the goat head. So it's all coming together.
Yeah, so, and I'm anti-black jersey. And every time I see the goat head, I'm like, beautiful. Wait, but on the topic of fashion, not to derail us off the bat, I have two things we need to discuss. First of all, speaking of Lindy Ruff suits, last night, very nice, the gray with the blue plaid. It was very subtle. It matches the Sabres. And I like when coaches go in the similar color scheme to it. But we need to talk about you guys' fashion this week. Like, those jackets.
The reversible ones?
Yeah. The Sabres are coming out with really cute fashion. I feel like I'm always complaining about what, you know, NHL merch looks like nowadays. And look at the Sabres.
Yeah, the reversible ones were popular because, Duffer, you... I've had many requests, and people are loving them. And the best part about it is when you put them on the blue and gold, you don't see the red and black. And when you put it on the red and black, you don't see the blue and gold unless you start opening up your jacket and you're showing everybody. But it's a well-done piece. I love it.
Quick update from Sabre practice. Jordan Greenway left in the middle of it. We will undoubtedly hear from Lindy Ruff later with an update, just not sure that's going to fall in the window of our Sabres live show today. So, as always, stay with Sabres Social for the latest. Shayna, I'm told you've been doing some writing this week. It might have to do with some new coaches in the NHL. What have you learned, and what can you share with us?
Patrick Byron, people.
It's always fun when you pick a story and then you think it will be fun and then you forget some of the teams you have to write about and you have to start torturing yourself right now. That's what we've learned. No, okay. It's always interesting to check in on new coaches and new systems, especially when it's an off-season change versus a mid-season change, right? Because a mid-season change, how much can you logistically change on the fly versus off-season where you have full training camps to make your tweaks and adjustments? And generally speaking, we see those even strength adjustments made in training camp and those take hold first and then they start working on special teams. So I think we're seeing those adjustments for a couple teams now, right? Like the Kraken. They are adjusting their special teams on the fly. They're still adapting to their new even strength systems. Or you look at a team like Ottawa, where the first couple games were a little messy, but now you're looking at them and seeing how their rush defense has trended up. They've been outstanding. And look how stout they've been these last few games, holding the Bruins to no shots in the third period the other night, crushing the Toronto Maple Leafs, also with the new coach, who have no offense, who would have thought, to last night's game against the Flyers. They were still good defensively despite the score. So I think, you know, you're starting to see things come to fruition now.
Okay. I was looking at a page. It says odds of coaches getting fired. It was just from a couple of days ago. And Mike Sullivan was number one, you know, at plus 225. Like if you look at the odds themselves. But I don't see Jim Montgomery on that list. And last night's game was not good. Not good for the Bruins. Not good for Swayman. Could he be a surprisingly like coach on the hot seat? And I know we talked about Brunette before and there's others, but I'm looking at Jim Montgomery now and I'm like, it's not really great in Boston when you lose 7-2 like that.
Yep. This has been, this is the hill I'm going to die on this year, that Jim Montgomery is not making it to the end of the season. And I was on that train last year. Not that I'm rooting for someone to get fired. Like, let's not take it the wrong way, because I think people get so dramatic with that. But it's just that I don't think he has the answers. I don't think the team is clicking. Yes, I think that there's flawed construction in Boston, right? Because I don't think Elias Lindholm is a 1C at his true value. I think you need to give him the best wingers in the world to make him that way, right? I don't think Charlie Coyle should be there 2C. You look at defense. I don't think Zadorov should have gotten that contract. So all of that is flawed. Yes. But generally speaking, the Bruins are a team that's greater than the sum of their parts, and they have not been this year. And it's not just the new additions. It's the people who have been there. I know Lindholm is hurt now. Hampus Lindholm, he was playing poorly. Charlie McAvoy is not up to snuff. David Pastrnak hasn't even looked as strong, except for the other night against, who is it, St. Louis?
The Blues, when he scored like in the
fantastic
third.
Yeah, he had a fantastic night. Yeah. But to me, that should be the top of the list. I don't disagree that Mike Sullivan should be up there, right? It's not that Mike Sullivan's a bad coach. It's just that sometimes you need a new voice. You need to change things up, and the Penguins are so broken. But I think Jim Montgomery should be number one. And I think Derek Lalonde should be in that top three as well.
He is actually number two in the odds. It goes Sullivan, Lalonde, St. Louis, Luke Richardson, and then Tortorella and Greg Cronin. But I don't think those two are going anywhere. But and I don't think Luke Richardson's is going anywhere either. But I think Derek Lalonde is one also with Detroit. But again, it comes down to roster construction with Detroit. Yeah. Like, I don't like their roster.
Yeah.
And I think that it's hard for a coach sometimes to try to make pieces work when they're not supposed to be in those places.
Yeah, like Ben Chiarot, top four defenseman, I would say probably not. But my issue with Lalonde is like the Red Wings penalty kill has been a disaster this year, and personnel has a lot to do with it. But I think we've seen really smart coaches kind of get their, you know, PKs to outperform their roster. He ran a great penalty kill in Tampa Bay. I know he's not the assistant coach running the actual tactics of it, but I'm shocked at the weaknesses they have, even with the roster in mind, based on, you know, what he's coached before.
Yeah, I do fear for Luke Richardson only because Chicago did make a lot of tweaks to the roster, and I wasn't sure if it was going to result in a huge spike as far as team points are concerned. But when you have Connor Bedard and the team is struggling offensively as bad as it is, I think that's going to be the thing that might ultimately come back on Richardson here. So we'll see. It's never one person, one problem, you know, in all these situations. All that being said, what did you take away from Sheldon Keefe in his first year with the Devils? And I mean, what a week. Like, what a week that they just, you know, went through losing to San Jose, but then spending, you know, a great time in Sunrise and collecting two victories against the champs.
You know what? It's really interesting because I feel like this whole week kind of talks about their coaching situation in a bigger way than maybe we would have anticipated, because you're going to look at that game against San Jose. They were the better team. They should have won.
Yes.
They got goal lead by Mackenzie Blackwood.
Not only did they get goalie, they scored in their own net to win, to lose 1-0. That was the only goal, is a Timo Meier own net.
And I look at Blackwood, and it's amazing how his stock has fallen over the years, right? He was supposed to be the next big thing. And I think that was always overhyped. I never thought he was going to be the next coming of goal.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Goaltending, but it's interesting to me that he leaves New Jersey and he finds his game again. Meanwhile, all these goalies are coming to New Jersey and they lose their game. And it's a continuous theme that I keep going. You know, you changed a lot of the coaching staff, but there's one member of it that stays on. And I don't understand it, because the Devils' biggest issues so far this year has been goaltending sometimes. And you're like, oh, a little odd. But I think that Keefe is doing a pretty good job there, because you see like the Nico Hischier line, right? They were absolutely thriving with Mercer, Hischier, and Meyer until they weren't. So they made necessary changes, right? You're putting Paul Cotter up and going, okay, we're going to get a spark in a different way. And it's working for them. They got the Jack Hughes line going, and now they found a way to get Hischier's line going again. So it's clicking more. And yes, he has a lot of reinforcements. Personnel is a big deal in New Jersey. It's helped their defense and penalty kill with guys like Pesci and Dylan adding them in. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's a combination of everything that's working for them, if they can just get reliable saves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned reliable saves. I said yesterday on the show that I think the Oilers will have a different goaltender by the end of the season, that it won't be Stuart Skinner there. Although Calvin Pickard won last night, but it just, I mean, he's a serviceable backup, but it's like, exactly. It was Nashville, and you know, they actually, the Oilers almost gave it away, but that's the way it is. And now Carolina's got goalie issues with Freddie Anderson out and Pyotr Kochetkov doubtful. Is Mackenzie Blackwood the one goalie we should look at that could be on the move, just because I don't know that he's long-term going to be the answer in San Jose? They have Askarov there. Could they move on from Blackwood if a team is calling?
Yeah, why not? They should be listening to every single offer they can get, because their rebuild is going to be a long haul. It started later than it should have. They've had to manage some really bad contracts getting out from under them. And I don't think all of the returns for their big guys like Meyer was up to what it should have been. So if you can find other pieces to squeeze value out of, why not? Because sometimes in this league, that depth player, depth addition sometimes costs way more than it should, right? And if you're the Sharks, like you said, they have their goalie of the future waiting. Why not, right? If he can handle playing a little more and you're not worried about overwhelming him at the NHL level behind that defense, why not? Because we're all going to be looking around the league at goalies and saying, who's the big ticket goalie to move? And it rarely happens in the regular season. Goalie trades are few and far between, especially in the regular season, which with a big name player like, I don't know, John Gibson, say. So I wonder if Blackwood could be that low-key guy that we're not talking about enough, because there should be teams looking for goaltenders without a doubt. And if you are a team like Carolina, you have the best defense in the league, and you know that you can put an average goaltender in and be just fine. If Blackwood can be that slightly above average kind of guy for them, why not?
Well, so just to put a bow on San Jose, part of their reason, and they lost narrowly at the Rangers last night, pretty decent effort, falling 3-2. They had been 5-2-1 prior. It wasn't just Blackwood. Vanacek has had some real nice moments in there to reestablish himself. And to your point about
another goalie out of New Jersey?
Yes.
And, better outside New Jersey?
He's a Capital, trust me. In this market, yeah, in the COVID year, all he ever did was play for Washington and beat Buffalo. It was the most annoying thing ever. But Askarov in San Jose in the AHL right now is 6-2 with a 164 and 949 save percentage. So these are things, which obviously has him near the top in every meaningful category. Like, how much could Blackwood fetch on them? Like, if Edmonton, I'm really curious now, because I think you guys are 100% right. Like, it's nice that San Jose has made some inroads. And yes, they want to keep making inroads. But if they can maximize some value for Blackwood, and what would that look like? I'm really curious here.
It's got to be what, like, at his best, maybe a second round pick, but that feels like a third round pick kind of move where you're like, oh, that's it. But see, if you're San Jose, I also would stress selling high on Blackwood while you can, just in case his game falls. I'm not saying it's going to, because we all know the skill is there, but let's say his game falls. Vanacek is not the guy you're going to be selling, in my opinion. I don't care how well he does in the regular season, his playoff record, which I don't always put stock in this, but there's something there when it's happened with multiple teams now. When he's been in the playoffs, I don't think he's handled the environment well enough. I think we've seen his game completely slide. And it was part of the reasons, you know, the Devils were eliminated 2 years ago. You're like, okay, maybe there is something there. He's not the guy I'm selling to a playoff team, not Edmonton, not Carolina, when they aspire not just to be a playoff team, but a cup contender. So Blackwood is the guy to sell on. And I wonder if maybe you don't wait to get the highest bidder, but you take a good deal, a solid deal.
Here's the problem with
I think he's at minimum, they're getting a first round pick for him, or they're getting somebody's top six scorer. That's what I think.
For Mackenzie Blackwood?
Yes.
I think that's asking too much. And there's the reason why I think it's asking.
If it's the Oilers, let's say, for some reason, and if Skinner can't, they got to make a deal.
Yeah, but here's the problem. I agree with Shayna. I think it's a second round at best, but I was thinking they will get a second round.
It's not worth it. That's a joke.
But no, I'm saying they will get a second round if they can retain salaries on Mackenzie Blackwood. He's only $2.3 million if you retain half. The problem is San Jose is already retaining three contracts. They can't retain more. You can only retain on three players. Brett Burns, Eric Karlsson, Tomas Hertl. You cannot retain more. So they won't be able to say to a team, hey, we'll send him to you for 50% on the dollars. So I think that would have been incentive. I think you get probably a third round pick with Mackenzie Blackwood. And really, if you're San Jose, you do it. You'd get an extra third round pick. Why not?
And then if you can get a third, a third team to be the broker.
Sign him. Move forward with him. Stop taking draft picks. It doesn't do anything for you. Get better. They can.
Yeah, they have
I would accumulate the draft picks to try to be aiming for those young NHL caliber players, right? Because that third round pick, say, could be part of a package for that next good forward. Like, think a DeBrincat trade or something like that, right? Or Kirby Dach trade. Like, those are why you stockpile those picks. I think, yes, if you're a team like the Sharks, you're going to want to draft and develop a ton of players. But realistically, you're going to get it to a point in your rebuild where you say, we need now 21-year-olds and 24-year-olds to play with the 17-year-olds. So if you have that extra third-round pick, maybe you're willing to move yours in a year or so, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, talking about Erik Karlsson, Shayna, do you think the Pittsburgh Penguins should buy him out? I think next year, instead of a $9.9 million cap, pit for them, it'd be a 7.5. The next year would be 9.5, and then just on like 750,000 for two more years. Do you think it's worth it for the Pittsburgh Penguins to maybe buy out Erik Karlsson at the end of the season?
No, I'm going to say no. They are my next project. Granted, they lose one of two games this weekend to really go on a deep dive. This rock bottom, and is there any path forward? I think buying out is not just like waving the white flag and saying we're done. You're shooting yourself in the foot. I think you need to be really creative here. I'm not saying don't move on from him because it hasn't worked, especially with Chris Letang. It just, nothing's clicking. But I just think it's too much unless you're committing to completely tearing it down, which I don't think they're going to do.
10 seconds or less. Marty said if he was in line for the Utah Hockey Club jersey, he would get a Clayton Keller one. Who would you get?
Dylan Gunther. Nice. Keller's a great pick, though.
Obviously, Vemelka would be my choice.
He's in the starter's net this morning, by the way, Duffer. He's going to play tonight. He's starting back-to-back games.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. She's back next week. We are back right after this.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.